Blog Talk Radio.
It only takes a car accident to realize what a privilege employment is as a way of life. For too many injured or sick people, this goal is out of reach. And unfortunately, a lot of folks still pay taxes out of a budget far less than Warren Buffett's secretary. How unpleasant and painful this must be. Most Americans today would feel privileged to make enough money for their daily living expenses, unexpected family challenges, community support, and taxes. Unfortunately, since many work for minimum wage or less, or for those living on fixed income, such as Social Security income, which is SSI, Social Security Disability Income, which is SSDI, or state assistance, currently this is only a dream. In fact, some are required to pay taxes out of the little they do make. Individuals involved in a car collision are more than likely to be one of these last three groups, especially if injured for an extended period of time. Let's talk about you and taxes after a car collision today here on Estra's radio show. Welcome and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio this April 6, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. So dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured and filing taxes just like you may need to hear your story. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. And these are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. Our first personal injury news comes from FoxNews.com, and I want to warn you that this first article can be a bit graphic, so use caution to the ears that are hearing this information. The name of the article is Car Towed from North Carolina Crash Scene with Body Inside, and this comes from the Associated Press, quote, and this is Raleigh, North Carolina. Body of a missing North Carolina woman was found inside her wrecked car 3 days after it was ordered by state troopers to be towed away from the crash scene. Carolyn Ann Watkins, 62, of Clayton, was reported missing by her son early Monday after she failed to show up at work. The accident report filed Friday by North Carolina Highway Patrol Trooper Marlon Williams shows her crashed 2000 Pontiac was found Friday morning in a deep ditch near Smithfield, about 30 miles southeast from Raleigh. Both airbags deployed. Note, no driver at the scene of the collision, wrote Williams in his report. The patrol had a local towing company move the car to a lot for storage, where it remained with the Clayton woman inside until her body was discovered Monday evening by a Smithfield police officer searching for clues about her disappearance. It was not immediately clear when Watkins died. She was last seen alive Thursday. Watkins' son, Al Parker, wondered if his mother's life might have been saved if the trooper had noticed her in the car. I'm thinking she could still be here alive, Parker said Tuesday. How do you not look in the car? When you pull the car out, how do you not see a body in the car? Williams, a 9-year veteran of the Highway Patrol, has been placed on paid administrative duty pending the outcome of an internal review that will be conducted with the help from the State Bureau investigation. The patrol refused to release any further information about the incident. We will release accurate information to the public as soon as available and appropriate, Public Safety Commissioner Frank Perry said in a brief written statement. At this early stage, our main concern is to conduct a thorough and professional investigation so we can determine exactly what happened. A man who answered the phone at Dustin's Towing and Recovery in Willow Springs said the Highway Patrol asked him not to talk about the incident. End quote. You know, it's a good thing, these are my comments, it's a good thing this doesn't happen very often, and the only thing I have to say on this is hopefully this is resolved in a satisfactory way for all concerns, because tragic accidents are difficult. Our second news article has a more favorable ending, and it comes to us from KirklandReporters.com, and the title of the article is Rollover Car Accident at Totem Lake Rite Aid. No serious injuries. Quote, Kirkland firefighters responded to a rollover car accident at the Totem Lake Rite Aid Monday evening. At approximately 7 p.m., a car crossed oncoming traffic on Northeast 124th Street and jumped the curb, landing in the parking lot and striking another motorist, according to Kirkland firefighters' Facebook page. Firefighters say the drivers appear to have had a medical emergency before the accident occurred. No serious injuries were reported. However, one person was transported to Evergreen Health Medical Center as a precaution. Two aid cars, a ladder truck, and a battalion chief and a medic responded from Fire Station 26 and 27, end quote. You know, my comments here is that it's nice to know sometimes accidents happen and the people come out okay. When driving a motor vehicle, the unexpected occurs to someone, you know, and one does not have to consider this each time one fastens your seatbelt. But remember to use caution when everything looks okay and ordinary. Perhaps will also aid in a better outcome because you just never know when something's going to happen. That's why it's called an accident. And you want to be as prepared as possible to hopefully have the best outcome possible. And now for my commentary on you and taxes. On April 15th, every year seems to come faster and faster. The deadline for taxes being completed rarely changes, and there are many options in getting them done. One would be to pay a professional tax person, do them yourself, or get help by community organizations offering free services most times. Seems like there's a lot of time, right? And how long does it take to get into this routine? What if you've been in a car accident and you struggle daily just to get your needs met? When are you going to find the time to get them done or organize them so somebody else can? The answer to this question varies, yet starting at least 2 months before they are due could allow you enough time to eliminate excessive stress, take into consideration your health condition, provide enough time to make sure you have the paperwork required, and decide who will complete the form. Furthermore, if you have questions, allowing extra time helps to research the answers and select the one that best fits your needs. Even when others are doing your tax returns, understanding and staying informed on current changes in tax laws aids you to be your best advocate. The greater your knowledge, the less chance you will miss any information. And upon completion, review it for accuracy, understanding, and possible missed deductions. At this time, there are a lot of articles, videos, along with additional information on how to file income tax returns. And in my opinion, one of the best places to start is the IRS official website. Become familiar with its layout and where to look for information. Print out or write down the phone number or online help links in case you need them in the future. As with most conversations today, you may be recorded, so be sure to be as accurate as possible. In past decades, few people living in poverty were required to pay income taxes. Perhaps it was due to the realization of this being a heavy burden on citizens already strapped for cash, usually robbing Peter to pay Paul, and typically not having the money to pay anything additional since survival is barely feasible. However, today, our tax structure may not be so kind. Therefore, taxes could still be due, so do not necessarily think you're out of the woods. Make sure to complete your income tax forms as soon as you can. Otherwise, the penalties may end up exceeding the tax itself. Remember that you can always hire an attorney to assist in any income tax issues that might arise. And if you make this choice, shop around and decide wisely. If possible, try and work with the IRS if the taxes due will not significantly impact your life. You can also contact the IRS to see what all your options are and look at their online website. But it's always wise to get a second opinion or research options on your own. The important thing is to realize your problems can be solved, whether abled or disabled. Remember, this helps our country provide the important services it needs. Each citizen doing their part makes life better for all of us. There are just certain things we cannot do on our own as easy, and that's what these resources provide. Lastly, there is software available which will help you figure out what your income tax amount should be. Continual use allows easier completion and aids in understanding and organizing your information yearly. Most importantly, decide how you want to do them and set up an annual routine that makes it less stressful, less costly, and more effectively uses your time. This will leave you with more energy for healing and time for rest. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinions and have no association with the writers of them. And of course, from time to time, I'll be stopping and commenting. The first article selected today is on disability etiquette. And the reason why I want to actually start with this one is because I think it's very important for people to realize how they communicate and treat people with injuries or sickness and how to maybe better communicate in a way that promotes a healthy relationship versus becomes harmful. So I actually found an article out on EasterSeals.com. And it's a great article. It says that I just want to give a quick definition of what Easter Seals says their mission is, and it says it's to provide exceptional services, education, outreach, and advocacy so people living with autism and other disabilities can live, learn, work, and play in our communities. And I just want to say that isn't that really what all of us want, and I just want to make sure that when you look at anyone, whether if they're a different race, whether they have an injury or they're sick, or whether they're tall, short, thin, overweight, whatever the case may be, that you realize first and foremost that that is a person that deserves the same respect as anyone else. To me, that's just so important, and when we neglect to give people the respect and dignity that they need, then in my personal opinion, we end up missing out on parts of that individual that could not only make our world a better place, but maybe add more to your life. But I'm going to go ahead and start in on Easter Seals' article here. Quote, "People with disabilities are entitled to the same courtesies you would extend to anyone, including personal privacy. If you find it inappropriate to ask people about their sex lives or their complexions or their incomes, extend the courtesy to people with disabilities. If you don't make a habit of leaning or hanging on people, don't lean or hang on someone's wheelchair. Wheelchairs are an extension of a person's personal space. When you offer to assist someone with a vision impairment, allow the person to take your arm. This will help you to guide rather than propel or lead the person. Treat adults as adults. Call a person by his or her first name only when you extend this familiarity to everyone present. Don't patronize people who use wheelchairs by patting them on the head. Reserve this sign of affection for children. In conversation, when talking with someone who has a disability, speak directly to him or her rather than through a companion who may be along. Relax. Don't be embarrassed if you happen to use common expressions such as, "See you later," "I've got to run." That seems to relate to a person's disability. To get the attention of a person who has a hearing disability, tap the person on the shoulder, or wave your hand. Look directly at the person and speak clearly, slowly, and expressively to establish if the person can read your lips. Not everyone with a hearing impairment can read lips. Those who do will rely on facial expressions and other body language to help understand. Show consideration by facing a light source and keeping your hands and food away from your face or from your mouth when speaking. Keep mustaches well trimmed. Shouting won't help, but written notes will. When talking with a person in a wheelchair for more than a few minutes, place yourself at the wheelchair user's eye level to spare both of you a stiff neck. I can relate to that one. When greeting a person with a severe loss of vision, always identify yourself and others who may be with you. Say, for example, "On my right is Andy Clark." When conversing in a group, remember to say the name of the person to whom you are speaking to give vocal cues. In speaking in a normal tone of voice, indicate when you move from one place to another, and let it be known when the conversation is at end. Give whole, unhurried attention when you're talking to a person who has difficulty speaking. Keep your manner encouraging rather than correcting, and be patient rather than speak for the person. When necessary, ask questions that require short answers or a nod or shake of the head. Never pretend to understand if you are having difficulty doing so. Repeat what you understand. The person's reaction will guide you to understanding. Common courtesies. If you would like to help someone with a disability, ask if he or she needs it before you act, and listen to any instructions the person may want to give. When giving directions to a person in a wheelchair, consider distance, weather conditions, and physical obstacles such as stairs, curbs, and steep hills. When directing a person with a visual impairment, use specifics such as a left 100 feet or right 2 yards. Be considerate of the extra time it takes a person with a disability to get things done or said. Let the person set the pace in walking and talking. When planning events involving persons with disabilities, consider their needs ahead of time. If a insurmountable barrier exists, let them know about it prior to the event. End quote. You know, when you stop and think about everyone deserves the same respect and dignity, and this is me here, and are not second-class citizens, progress is made. We all have strengths and weaknesses which make us unique. However, we are the same and should be treated this way. It's nice to talk about etiquette. It makes it easier on the people with disabilities and those coordinating activities. We really are all the same people. I think this is a great, thank you Easter Seals for this. A lot of people are always wondering exactly how they should be treating or things they do, and it's great to have something that gives a little bit more direction and information. Our second article today will come from Kiplingers.com, and the title of the article is, "Where Do You Rank as a Taxpayer?" A lot of times we hear a lot of things, and sometimes we're kind of curious how this all works together, so I thought I'd pull a few articles that would give us a bit of information on that. And it's, quote, "Do you know how you compare with your fellow taxpayers when it comes to the income you make and the taxes you pay? We have the answers." And it's by Kevin McCormanly. And it says, "There's been plenty of debate recently about the growing disparity between rich and poor in America and about income taxes. Who pays how much now and who should pay more in the future as part of the prescription to narrow the burgeoning budget gap that has pushed the national debt to political proportions." I just have to stop right there for a quick second. You know, it really bothers me when we know that it was Wall Street and the banks who caused the crash and the problems. And yet and still, when they talk about solutions, they expect like the last 50% of people that make a lot less than by far than the top half to come up and pay more than their fair share to get us out. And that really kind of irritates me. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article. Quote, "Undoubtedly, there are big issues here, and we think it's important for you to know where you fit in. Does your income put you in the once extolled and excoriated 1% of richest Americans, in the bottom 50%, or taxpayers? Or somewhere in between? And no matter where you sit, are you bearing your fair share of the nation's tax burden? Do you have a clue what portion you pay now, aside from too darn much? To answer the questions such as this, we have developed a tool to show how much the nation's taxable income and the country's tax bill are distributed among its citizens. Are the wealthy coddled with tax favors? Is the middle class unfairly burdened? Our tool uses the latest IRS data to shine a bright light into what are too often murky shadows. We'll also show you how your own income stacks up with that of your fellow Americans. Are you ready to see where you fit in? With our simple calculator, enter a single number from your 2011 tax return and you'll instantly know the answers." Okay, I'm going to stop here for a minute. All of the links for today's or sites for today's show are out on Estra's Facebook. It's Estra's Blog Tips on Facebook. And you can go out and click on this link and enter your information to get specifics on those numbers. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article. Quote, "What the numbers show. The latest numbers from the IRS based on 2010 tax returns show what it takes to be among the top 1% of income earners. Adjusted gross income of $369,691 or more. The 1.4 million Americans with this elite status reported 16.9% of all the country's taxable income." That's right. 1% of taxpayers reported almost 19% of all taxable income. But that same tiny group also kicked in 37% of all the taxes paid. How much do you need to make? How much do you need to make to be in the top 50% of earners? Just $34,338. Fall below that level and you are in the bottom half, along with nearly 70 million of your fellow tax payers, right? All told, the group earned just 11.7% of the income reported on the 2009 tax returns, and they coughed up 2.36% of all the income taxes. Using our calculator to see if you're in the top 1, 5, 10, 20, or 50%, or bottom 50% of income earners, and I think that I have to stop here. You can go out and take a look at their calculator. I think it'd be interesting to go out there and see where you fall. Most people know about where they fall. If you think of the large percentage of people who are people working full time and still live in poverty, you know, that 47%, you know, there's no rocket science to be able to figure that out. So in my personal opinion, I just think that a lot of people, certainly in the last 30 years, haven't been receiving the wages they need to be able to live an average middle-class life. But I'm going to go on back into the article here. Quote, our income and tax burden breakdowns come from information reported on 2010 individual income tax returns. Income categories are based on adjusted gross income. Note that these figures include only federal income taxes, or according to one study, more than half of all wage earners pay more in Social Security and Medicare taxes than they do income tax. The percentage of those paying more payroll tax than income tax soars to nearly 90% if you count both the employer and employee share of those levels, or those levies. From a historical perspective, back in 1986, the top 1% of earners reported 11% of all income and paid 26% of the income taxes. The lower earnings, 50%, made 17% of the income and paid 6% of the nation's individual income tax bill. Okay, and then on their they have a chart here that's actually showing the breakdown here, and I'm just gonna let's see here. As I said earlier, it said the 1% usually makes over $369,691. And that's basically 19% of all income. The top 5% is $161,579. And 34% of people fit into that. The top 10% is over $116,623, which is about 45%. The top 25% is over $69,129, which is 68%. The top 50% makes over $34,334, which is 88%. So the bottom 50%, and think about that, the bottom 50% makes under $34,338, and that's 12% of all income. And to me, that's the most tragic part of this whole thing. You have, to me, this demonstrates, and it really, I'm sure that, you know, the way that our tax system is structured right now, a lot of the 1% isn't paying any taxes. And so, to me, I think it's probably a bit skewed down, so it doesn't show just how much more advanced they are than that bottom 50%. And so, I don't know. I hope that at some point we decide that everyone deserves a fair wage and the respect to be able to live a life and not necessarily as comfortable as the next, but at least have the basics of food, housing, and be able to pay basic necessities and survive at a level that Americans used to, because in my opinion right now, I just don't see that happening. But it's actually good to take a look and see what those numbers look like. So thank you for that article. Another article we're going to take a look at here is let's see who it's from here. It's from NTU.org, and it says, who pays income taxes? It kind of goes along with the article we just left, so that's why I want to bring it in here. And it says, who pays income taxes and how much? And that was showing us the 2010 excuse me, breakdown. Here's the 2009 breakdown, and it's almost about the same. The top 1% is at $343,000. The 5% is $154,643. The top 10 is 112. The top 25 is 66,000, and the top 50% is 32,000. Right, so that's a couple thousand dollars less for the bottom 50%. But you can see that the actual range is still problematic. If we go back to 2008, it actually looks about the same. Though the top 1% is $380,354. The top 5% is $159,619. The top 10% is 113,799. The top 25 is 67,280. The top 50% is 33,048. So that's $1,000. Actually, I think that's $1,000 more. I guess in 2008 was a better year for the bottom half than 2009. 2007 is almost about the same. The top percent is 410,096. The bottom half is 32,879. What a contrast that is, right? It's a tragic contrast, in my opinion, too. Let's see here. In 2006, the top made 388,806. The bottom 50%, 31,987. The disparity to me is obvious. 2005, the top 1% made 364,657. The bottom is 50% made 30,881. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the actual top seems to be growing a lot faster than the bottom. If you look at the bottom 50%, the wages are almost stagnant. Why is that? People, we actually need unions to come back to be a force for our bargaining power. Someone, in my opinion, sold the Americans, people, a bill of goods saying they don't need to be unionized. I'm really excited to see a lot of the restaurant fast food workers are starting to say we want higher wages, we want a living wage. I think that's so very important. As far as the 1% paying more in their taxes, I would think that they've been reaping the benefits of it, and they should. I think that our tax reform should be fair. I don't see how people at the bottom 50% who are not even making enough to survive are able to pay taxes. So you're taking away something from people who don't even really have anything to give, which in my opinion is tragic, because if they were paid a living wage, they would. And in my opinion, the impact that would have on the top percent would be minimal. I'm sure that their lifestyles would continue. For the tax year 2004, it was $328,049, and the bottom was $30,122. So you can see from 2004 to 2010, that's over 100,000 about that the top percent has increased, and that's with all the benefits of all the tax deductions and loopholes that I'm sure is missing more than that. And look at the bottom half. The bottom half is 30,122. There's no growth there. Are they saying that 50 bottom 50% isn't valued, not important? The work isn't, the quality isn't, it is good. What are you really saying to this group of people? So, I just think it's really very unfortunate. It actually has all the way back to 2001 out here, but I think you kind of get the idea. Or actually, it goes back to 2000. So I think you can kind of get the idea of what's the differences in income and what they pay. Our last article also actually ties into the IRS information that we're talking about today. And it's actually it's a blog from the Wall Street Journal. And the title of the article is A Look at the Tax Returns of the Top 400 Taxpayers, and it's by David Wessel. Quote, the top 400 U.S. individual taxpayers got 1.5% of the nation's household income in 2007, according to their tax returns, three times the slice they got in the 1990s, or according to the Internal Revenue Service. They got paid 2.05% of all individual income taxes in that year. In its annual updates of the taxes paid by the 400 best taxpayers, or best off taxpayers, who aren't identified, I bet they aren't. The IRS also said that only 220 of the top 400 were in the top marginal tax bracket. Hello, that's something to think about there. That's my little jumping in. The 400 best off taxpayers paid an average tax rate of 16.6%, lower than any year since the IRS began making the reports in 1992. What does that tell you? When you hear, oh, we don't have any money, we can't afford it, but you see Wall Street just blowing it out, making money hand over foot, mainly because they're not even investing in America. Most of the money is elsewhere, so regardless of what our economy does, they're still making money hand and foot in our country, which they forgot is also, in my opinion, their country, while you go over on the other side of the tracks and you think you're living in a third world America where people can't even afford food. I would personally say there's a little something off kilter there, but let me go on before I start getting into one of my pet peeves. To make the top 400, a taxpayer has to have an income of more than $138.8 million. As a group, the top 400 reported $137.9 billion in income and paid $22.9 billion in federal income tax. About 81.3% of the income of the top 400 households came in the form of capital gains, dividends, or interest, the IRS data showed. Okay, let me stop here for a minute. These are people who have earned money, and not hating on any rich people making money. If you can make money and be rich, God bless you, okay? But when it comes to the point where people are making money by slavery, and that's what I call it in my opinion, slavery, when people in this country are not even given a living wage, there's something wrong with that. And there, when you hear these comments of, oh, those people are lazy, they're making minimum wage or lower than minimum wage, and they're complaining, these people, some of them are working. Let's not say all rich people don't work, because a lot of them work very hard to earn their money, so I give them that respect. But on the other hand, they're making their money from capital gains, dividends, and interest, and that is not a 9-to-5 situation, okay? And that's not somebody worried about where their next meal is going to come from, okay? Where they're going to find information, money to pay the taxes that they might owe, okay? So, but let me go on before I... Only 6.5% came in the form of salaries and wages. Is that right? So, out of 100% of that top 400 households, only 6.5%, how much? 6.5%, which means 94.5% don't do the 9-to-5, okay? So, I'm going to go on getting back in the article quote. Over the past 16 tax years, 3,472 different taxpayers showed up in the top 400 at least once. Of these taxpayers, a little more than 27% appear more than once in any given year. About 40% of the top 400 returns were filed by taxpayers who weren't in that exclusive club in any of the 15 years. In all, the IRS received nearly 143 million income tax returns for 2007, the year that ended with the onset of the worst recession in decades. Wow, that was a lot to take in, but it was good to hear. I'm just amazed at the disparity that's even between the two top percent and the bottom 50%. I hope people get out and vote in 2014. I think that we need to have people that are representing us that are, and not all people who represent us are this way, but we need more who are more concerned with the health of our nation than the wealth of them or their special interest. We need people in office who are interested in America, who love America, who put America first, not America last, not what I can get from someone else, how I can only make my family better and forget everyone else. Someone who cares and loves America. Personally, I believe everyone would love to be able to pay enormous amounts of taxes, income taxes in America, given the opportunity. Everyone wants to be able to give and pay their fair share. And everyone deserves, in my opinion, the right to be able to work, whether they're able or disabled, to be able to have respect and dignity wherever they shop, live, or visit. And they should be able to pay the taxes by their income on a living wage. America, we have got to do something. And people, we have to wake up. This is no time to be sleeping. Is it hard for more than the 50% at the bottom? I believe so. But I also believe that everyone needs to get up and not just say, I don't, and do nothing, and let this talk go on and on, the conversation, oh, we need to do this, then do something. You have to decide to do something. And to me, in my opinion, the best thing you can do is to vote, and not say, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. You look at those people in your district. Are they really representing you? Are they doing what you think is important? Did they pass gun control legislation to stop some of the killing? Are they helping to feed people in your state? Are they helping to find jobs for people? Are they putting people back in homes instead of people living in their cars, on the street? There's just so many different issues. Are they working with getting rid of trafficking, one of the biggest industries that's growing? It's just time for people to say no more. And the only way that's going to happen is if you decide to say no more. People promoting unhealthy things that keep moving our whole society in ways that harm us. Trying to prevent things that are good for us or respectful of our people, of all people, and let those things go. So I just hope today that you'll realize that you can get your income taxes done. Hopefully you can, if you haven't already instituted a plan to allow you to be able to take 2 months to get everything together, and particularly if you're injured or in a car or sick or in a car accident, or even healthy for that matter, that you're able to do that. There's a lot of resources out there. I always start with the internet. The IRS's website, I think, is a great place. But there's also things in your community, places that will, professional services that will help you. Just take a little time, check it out. Think about it in terms of setting it up, not just for today, but for years to come, so that you actually get into a routine and it becomes less stressful in your life. It's really important. And it's really important for us to pay our taxes. Sometimes it's easier for some, more easier for some than others, but best that we can. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. If you'd like a chance to be on the Esther's Radio Show with your favorite celebrity, make sure to go out to SurveyMonkey.com/S/NQC9PCK and answer 6 simple questions. It takes about 3 minutes. And tell us who you want to be on the show. And if your celebrity is selected and accepts, you will be a part of that day's show. It's a first come, first serve, so make sure to fill it out today. That's it for our show. Thank you for being here. Join me again next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Remember to like Esther's blog tips on Facebook while looking at today's links. We want to extend a special thank you to Audacity, Internet Archives, musicians Fabio Claudel, Jean Claudette Borley, M83 Midnight City Instrumental, Jazz Instrumental Song Cafe, I'm Fine Instrumental, Final Countdown Instrumental, Loving Parents Instrumental, RTW Instrumental, Sealy Grande, William Sweatman, Nicole Guriso. And to the articles which made our time much more interesting, make sure to visit their Facebooks. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. The information contained on Talking About You with Esther is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has about Esther's radio show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers. This reflects life experiences. Esther's radio show is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlightpublishing@gmail.com. Thank you. Has tragedy struck in your life, your family's life, or friends' lives? There are thousands of car accidents every single day. People with injuries face a unique set of problems, but don't face them alone. Pick up a copy of Car Accident by Estra. Estra understands your situation and will bring wisdom, knowledge, and support. Learn from her experiences and learn insurance company and employer secrets. Car Accident by Estra is available at all major bookstores. This includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, eBay, Google, Powell's, and Tower Books, just to name a few. Pick up a copy today. You be prepared and you be informed. Use the checklist in the back of the book at the scene of a collision, so keep a copy in your car. It's easy to forget something when you're shaken up. Isn't it about time you get answers? Buy it online right now. Then listen to Estra's radio show every Saturday morning on Block Talk Radio. And now every Wednesday on Estra's TV on Block TV.